Man, I couldn't hardly get here. I was over in my office, and coming from the office building over here, I like to never got here. I'm driving about 3 miles an hour, and then I was right out there. Coming from my office, I'll come that little street that runs parallel with the main street, coming up to the main boulevard. Well, I'm sitting there at that stop sign, and a guy comes in, and he wheels in, and I have to whip around that corner real quick in order to keep from getting hit, and my back tire hit the curb back there. It looks like I messed up my rim, but praise the Lord anyway. Amen. I'm saying all that to tell you, when this is over, be very, very careful, because there's hundreds of people out there. The parking lot behind the administration building where my office is, it was completely full, and it was full all the way over in front of by SDC1 there. All that parking lot was full. And we've been having bigger crowds than ever. And so many of the people have been telling the people there that are working, thank you for having it and not canceling it, and of course, we have got some people that said we're trying to kill people, and I told them, they don't have to get out. They can drive around the campus in their car. If they want to get out and walk, that's their privilege, But, hey, and with all that said, yeah, they're telling me we're getting phone calls from people from 6 hours away wanting to know if we got the lights because they want to come. So, I've been to several stores in town just buying, like going to Walmart or somewhere, and they see me and they say, do you have the lights on? And I said, yeah, they're on and they're better than ever. I tell you what, Sky has done a fantastic job. I mean, he's got more stuff up than I've seen up in years. So praise the Lord. But I'm talking about all that because, in this day and age, have you ever noticed that people get offended so easily? And I did a series back a few years ago and called How to Avoid the Trap of Being Offended. There's a book out there about it. So I just thought, well, hey, how I do on Wednesday night. I just like to talk to y'all, about things that help you in your natural life as well as your spiritual life. And this is one of the things that will help you spiritually, but it'll also help you naturally. If you've been on any social media at all or looked at any of it, man, it is ridiculous. Or even I got where I won't even watch. My wife will tell you I won't even watch the news. Any of the news, I won't watch any of those. It's just ridiculous what's going on. But we all will have opportunities to get offended. Look at Luke 17:1. Then he said to the disciples, it's impossible that no offense should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. I want you to notice that phrase. It's impossible that no offense should come. We will have an opportunity to be offended. This verse indicates that it's inevitable that offense will come our direction. People get caught in the trap of being offended, and that's the way Satan robs them of the blessings of God. That word offense there in Luke 17:1 is a Greek word, skandala. And it refers to the movable stick or the trigger of a trap or any thing, any person or thing by which one is entrapped or drawn into error, and that comes from Thayer's Greek lexicon. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I can read. Okay. Now, the movable trigger or the stick or trigger of a trap. How many have ever set a mouse trap? You pull it back. There is a trigger there. When that mouse goes to get that little bite, it will release that and it'll come over and get him. They're saying here that word offense there is the trigger to get you trapped so that you don't receive all the blessings that God has for you. It's time to realize that Satan, he lays down a minefield of offense to keep us from walking in the will of God and the blessings of God. Offense is everywhere. If you look around, somebody's going to say something or do something that's going to cause you a problem. You've got to make up your mind that you're going to live free from offense. Now, let's look at the reality of avoiding the trap of offense that's set for us. We have to be ready for it to come, because we are told in the Word of God, there in Luke, it says that he told his disciples, it is impossible that no offense should come. So, we don't go looking for it. It's going to come to us. Jesus said so. Now, we cannot live our lives in danger, in fear, maybe I should say, and always, oh, I don't want to get offended. I'm looking at you. No, that's not what you do. We just know that it's coming. So, we can learn how to avoid it. Now, we don't need to spend our whole life trying to stay away from offense. It's going to come. The good news is that God has made a way for us to deal with this so that we won't get trapped. Now, where do offenses come? How do they come? What form do they take? Insults, verbal attacks, decisive rhetoric, broken relationships, betrayal. That's just a few of them. Most offensive really actually come from words that people speak. That's where most of the offense comes from. And they don't care whether it's truth or lie. All they care about is the fact that they don't like what's going on, so they're going to say whatever they want to say, and you may get offended over it. James tells us in James 3, in the New Living Translation, he says in James 3, in the New Living, we all make many mistakes. But those who control their tongue can also control themselves in every other way. We can make a large horse turn around and go wherever we want it to by the means of a small bit in its mouth. A tiny rudder can make a huge ship turn. Now, it may not be really tiny, but it's tiny compared to the ship. That's what it's talking about here. And the pilot, wherever the pilot wants it to go, even though the wind is strong. So also the tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. A tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. Now, the words that people speak set off more fires of offense than anything else. Have you ever seen somebody start a rumor and it spread like wildfire? Because somebody offended them. So they start telling everybody. People that get offended will keep repeating their offense, hoping that others will pick it up. Now, I'm not going to cover that part, but in that book, I cover, because the Lord dealt with me, and he said people that pick up somebody else's offense is worse than being offended yourself. Offense is inevitable, but being offended is your choice. Okay? It's going to come, but whether you're offended or not is up to you. Are you caught in the trap of offense? Well, how can you tell? Well, you might. You ever read some of them sometimes in magazines and different things they had? If you are, you know, however that goes, you know, you might be, you know. If you wear cowboy boots, you might be more from the West than the East, you know, stuff like that. So if you're caught in offense, it might be because you're hurt and angry because somebody else got something better than you did. So you might say you become jealous. You might be walking in the trap of being offended if you're resentful or envious or hateful towards someone continually, especially if their name is brought up. If their name is brought up in a conversation, you immediately have something to say that's negative about that person. Or if you're always slandering somebody or continually speaking negative about someone. If you're focused on the wrong that somebody did to you and you don't care what happens to them, you hope something bad happens to them, you're in the trap of being offended. Now, I know this is not good shouting and amen hollering type, so I'm not going to do like Brother Bill and say a better amen. No, we... This is the kind of teaching that it's not going to inspire you, but it sure is going to give you information to help you so you can stay walking in the blessings of God. You may be an offended person if you're running with a group of offended people. It's said, I don't know whether it's true or not, but it's said that offended people usually don't run alone. They run in groups. See, some people don't just get offended when somebody does something to them or wrongs them. They also get offended when another person tells them about what so-and-so did to them. Here's how it works. Person A did something against person B. Person C hears about it and starts speaking bad against person A, even though person C has had nothing said about them at all. That's picking up somebody else's offense. You can tell when a person has picked up somebody else's offense when they start saying, "Hey man, did you hear about so-and-so, what they did to so-and-so? Man, that was so wrong. Man, I hope they get what's coming to them." They wasn't even the one that was anything was done to. It was another person. Maybe even not even a close friend, just an acquaintance. You may think you can hang around with offended people and not get into the trap. You will. You see, Satan is trying to set a trap for us all the time to keep us from the blessings of God. This is just one of them. Getting offended. There's many different ways that he comes at you. He comes at you depending on yourself. See, everybody is different. Everybody has different weaknesses. Everybody has a different area in their life that is weak. I mean, man, I always use football because I use sporting deals. But in football, you study the team you're playing and you figure out their weaknesses, and that's where you attack. I mean, if they got two strong tackles in there in the defensive side and a strong middle guard, you're not going to try to run a 24 dive or run anything up the middle. You ain't going nowhere. You're going to have to design a play that acts like you're going there, but you got to bounce it to the outside. You know, the devil understands us. He wants to destroy us. That's what Jesus said, that the devil had come and was going around to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life. Peter said the devil's going around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. If he can get you trapped in an offense, he can devour you. I know people that have got offended right here in this church, left this church, because they felt like somebody said something bad to them. Somebody else. They didn't get a special seat at one of our conventions that they felt like they should. And they haven't been back. That's getting offended. You know, when we had to do, you know, one pew in between where everybody was sitting, and we had to spread out, everybody was spreading out all over there. We had some people that got upset over that. I don't think they left, but they really got upset over that. Well, I don't know why we got to do that, blah, 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 blah. Well, we do what we need to do in the natural and bring the supernatural in with it. And what I say all the time, the natural y'all got it? The natural, everybody say it, the natural, the supernatural, working together, make an explosive force for God. It's not all natural, but it's not all supernatural. See, there's some people, they want everything to be over here on the spirit side. Some people are over here on the natural side. Well, we live in two lives at the same time. We live the spiritual life and the natural life at the same time. And there are principles that work in both areas. Anybody getting anything out of this? Tell your neighbor, you can't hang with offended people without getting offended yourself. Now, people that get offended and hold offenses get stuck. I call it getting stuck in life. They get stuck. Have you ever met someone who told you something that somebody did to them? You haven't seen them for 2 or 3 months or maybe 6 months. And you happen to run into them at the mall, and you hadn't been talking to them 3 or 4 minutes, and they're telling you that same story again. Anybody ever done that? These people are stuck. They are stuck right there where the offense happened. They don't realize it, but they are blocking the blessings of God from coming into their lives, because the Word of God says if you don't forgive, then you're not in line for the blessing. I'm just saying it the way we'd say it. Not that's paraphrasing what the Bible said, but that's the way we'd say it in our modern day language. Many people don't realize that they are offended, and it has caused them to be stuck where they're at. Now, I don't know whether this is so or not. This is a story. I've heard it. I heard it first when I was a young preacher. But they say that in Africa, they would drill a hole in a coconut just large enough for the monkey to put its hand in. And they put a shiny little stone in there. And it would reach in to get it, but then it couldn't get its hand out with the stone. But it wouldn't turn loose of the stone. And the coconut was anchored to the tree, so it couldn't run off with it on there. And they would come back and catch the monkey. Now, I don't know whether that's so or not, but the monkey is holding on to a worthless pebble. It's more important to him than his freedom. You know, many people have gotten their hand in the trap. They're holding on to a worthless offense and are walking in unforgiveness and hurt when they could be walking in the newness of life and enjoying life. Now they're going around sad, upset, telling everybody that will listen to them what happened to them. One time somebody was telling something, I must have been about 17, 18 maybe. And I was traveling out with Dad. And we was at one of his morning services, and I was standing there with him. And this person came up and started talking to him about something that had happened to them. And he figured, well, they want me to pray about it. And so the person got through, and Dad said, well, when did this happen? Oh, 10 years ago. My dad, I could tell he was trying to keep from laughing. But he began to talk to the person, and he told him they needed to let this go and forgive the person. Well, okay, I'll forgive them, but I'll never forget it. We walked away. My dad said, they'll stay in that same position until they forgive and walk away from it. They'll stay where they're at. I never will forget that. You know, some people, have you ever heard somebody say, well, I'll forgive them, but I won't forget it? Anybody ever heard people say? I've heard people say that. You know what? They haven't forgiven. When you forgive, you forget it and you go on. You know, people refuse to let go of something that somebody did to them. They feel that they're justified in this because of what that other person did. And they go through life carrying an attitude that they've been mistreated, and so they're justified in this behavior. In some cases, it happened so long ago, the person can't remember all the details. They just know that this person did them wrong. You know, I've run into some people like that. Well, I said, what did they do? Well, I don't know, but they just really hurt me. Well, my goodness, if it's that bad, you should be able to tell me what's going on, right? Come on now. Somebody said, well, you're not preaching. No, I told you I was going to teach a little bit on try to help people not to be offended and tell you how, why, if you are, that's why. You see, sooner or later, somebody is going to offend you. Offense is going to come. Or sooner or later, somebody is going to tell you about what somebody did to them. Now, you've got to make up your mind whether you're going to take hold of that or not. You got to make up your mind, is that where I want to get stuck? Are these the people I want to get stuck with? Do I want to get stuck at this level of blessing? Remember, holding offense will cause you more harm than it will the person that offended you. John Mason, in his book, Let Go of Whatever Makes You Stop, says this: living a life of unforgiveness is like leaving the parking brake on when you drive the car. It causes it to slow down and you can't go very fast. I don't know about y'all, but where I come from down in that black land in north central Texas, if it's been raining, you don't want to get off of the main road. That black gumbo will suck you down in a New York minute. And I've been there, been stuck in it, you know, because until they got all the country roads paved, the farm to market roads paved, they were just dirt roads. And if it rained, you didn't want to go down it. You don't want to go down in your pickup, or you could get on your tractor and go down there. But you're not going down in a car or pickup. And so you get stuck. And so you're trying to get out. And all you're doing is making a rut and sinking deeper and deeper and deeper until you get it down to where you can't move at all because your frame's against the ground. But you got a rut that you've made for several hundred feet sometimes. You're trying to get out. People that continually hold grudges, that's where they are. They're stuck. They're stuck. You know, in offense, people are usually saying things, but they're not making any progress because they're harboring and holding offense, unforgiveness. I guess my wife says I grew up in the house with my dad, and she says, you don't let anything bother you. She had to learn this because she was, she'll tell you this herself. I heard her tell it not very long ago in a class we were teaching. But me, hey, that's their problem. In fact, I had somebody just recently come up and say, you know what so-and-so said about you? I said, no, I don't need to know. Don't want to know. Oh, it was bad. I said, well, who cares? What? I said, yeah, who cares? I'm not going to take offense. I'm not going to try to defend it. My dad was that way. I learned it from him. I lived in his house. I learned from him, you know, that. You see, if you're not careful, and Dad would say this, he would say, if you start fighting offense, you'll become a fighter instead of receiving blessings. I know an individual that because of something that happened, they were a minister, and because of something that happened, they talked about it all the time. They started fighting, and they ended up plumb out of the ministry. Dad said, if you start fighting with when somebody's offended you, you'll end up messing yourself up. John Mason said in his book, You're Born an Original, Don't Die a Copy, you can't get ahead when you're trying to get even. Being offended is a strategy of Satan to get you out of the will of God. Offense will make you pay a higher price than you want to pay. Experience suffering that you don't need, don't have to. It will cause you to do what you don't want to do. It'll cause you to travel a road that you don't want to go down, and you'll end up where you didn't want to go. Don't get stuck in life by being offended. There's a way of escape from the trap. Forgiveness is the way to avoid the trap of being offended. Forgiveness is the way to avoid that trap. When someone does something to hurt you or mistreat you, and you mistreat you, especially if they do it repeatedly, you may feel like not forgiving. But remember, being mistreated and being hurt doesn't give you a license to be offended. Two wrongs don't make a right. We know that. We've heard that all of our lives. But do you know what? You're the one that makes a decision of whether you will be offended or not. You're the one that makes the decision of whether you will forgive or not. Forgiveness will keep you out of the trap of being offended. You know, they got all kinds of these cookwares that they talk about nonstick. Yeah? Nonstick coating, right? How many of you heard about that? Yeah? Well, God has designed a nonstick coating for us that keeps offense from a sticking to us. It's called forgiveness. It's called forgiveness. With forgiveness, you'll progress further. With forgiveness, you'll stay clean. With forgiveness, you can escape the trap of Satan. I was talking about Dad a while ago. I mean, people would say hurtful things to him. Fellow ministers would criticize him for preaching the message of faith, even his friends. But he just kept walking in love and faith. I said to him one time, Dad, I just don't like what all them guys are saying. And by that time I was getting, I'm about 15, 16, I was getting old enough, you know, I said, there's one of them guys, I tell you what, I think I'm going to give him a knuckle sandwich. I told my dad that. He said, son, you can't do that. I said, I can beat the fire out of him. I ain't but 15, he's 30, but I said, he's a wimp. I said, I'll knock the fire out of him. Because I was mad. Because they was talking about my dad, and I didn't like it. I will say this, I shouldn't have done it, but I did get in a scuffle up in the balcony. We were at a not this balcony, but... I was 15 years old, and there's a bunch of us preachers' kids up there, and we was at their convention, and the people down there were, you know, they were hashing out stuff, and finally one of the guys said something about my dad, and I said something back, and he said something, and then that was all there was to it, because my uncle taught me, he said, if you're going to, don't tell a guy you're going to hit him, just do it. Uncle Dub. Some of y'all read the books, I heard the tapes about Uncle Dub, Dub Hagen. Hey, that's only half the stories. But he taught me and George, I'm Kenneth Wayne. His name was George Wayne, actually. Uncle Dub's name was George. Everybody called him Dub Hagen. He wouldn't even hardly answer to George. But anyway, and so my cousin is named George Irwin, which my dad's name is Kenneth Irwin. So he and I were named after our uncles. And so he had told us, he said, and that kid said something back, and I just hit him. He just said to me, well, I'll knock the fire out of you or something like that. I didn't even blink an eye. Bam! Because that's what my Uncle Dub taught me. But it didn't do any good. What I'm saying is this. You can be criticized. People can say stuff. And you might get in a fist fight, but it doesn't do any good. Didn't help. That didn't help a thing. You know, I was a teenager. I was 15 years old. So there's a little bit of difference there. But I would say, Dad, all these people saying all this stuff. He said, don't worry about it, son. That's their problem, not mine. That's where I learned that from. The guy that came up and said to me, I've had it more than once, but I don't like your preaching. I looked him in the eye and said, that's your problem, not mine. Turn around, walk off. Really, it is. It's his problem. What he wanted to do, he wanted to engage me and get me in offense. And he wasn't going to do it. How you respond to offense will determine the outcome of your life. Sometimes you find it hard to forgive. But the Word of God, it's time to quit, isn't it? But the Word of God says that we have to forgive if we're going to receive the blessing. You decide whether you're going to be offended or whether you're going to forgive and walk in love and expect God to bless you. It's up to you. Heavenly Father, I talked to these people for a few minutes tonight about a subject that's in the Bible that hardly nobody talks about, and that's being offended and not walking in love. I thank you, Father, that each of us will take stock of our lives and that we will not let anything get down into us. We won't harbor any offenses. We'll forgive. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Well, I trust you. Anybody get anything out of that tonight? That's just a little bit. If you want to get the whole, I think I did 4 or 5 lessons. It's in the book back there, How to Avoid the Trap of Being Offended. Tonight I just sort of hit here, there, and there, and there. It's in more of a form that's one right after another one. But I trust you got something. As I was looking for something this afternoon, and I was saying, Lord, give me something that'll help people. And this is what he gave me. Somebody said, well, I didn't need that. Well, maybe you need it to help somebody else with, but there's somebody here that needed some of that. We all really need it. We need to realize that, hey, we can either walk in offense or we can walk in forgiveness. It's up to us. Everybody stand, please. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Isn't it great to be able to know that you can walk in love? I'm not talking about being a doormat for somebody. I'm talking about walking in love. There's a difference, okay? And we don't have to be offended by what anybody says or anybody does. We just pray for them and go on. I heard my dad do this, and I do it a lot of times. A man had just came up to him and said some really bad things. And as we're walking away, he said, Lord, forgive him. He don't understand. He don't know what he's doing. Lord, forgive him. That was it. That's the way he did it. I learned it. I grew up with it. So, and my wife says, how do you do that? I said, well, I just forgive. I don't worry about it. She said, how do you do it? I said, I can't tell you how. I just know that I learned to do it. God always honored me, so I just do it. I mean, it's just something I do. You know, just like the old slogan in one of the sports companies, just do it. Well, just do it, okay? Hey, Sunday morning right here, 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock is School of the Bible. If you want to get in a smaller group, come to School of the Bible. Hey, wave at somebody and say, hey, we'll see. Hey, be careful out there. There's lots of people out there, okay? It's pretty, so there's lots of people out. God bless. See you Sunday morning right here.